Good morning.
Good morning.
And happy Friends Day.
Amen.
I want to welcome everybody here today, especially those of you who are family and friends of those who are members here. We appreciate each one of you being here. And immediately after our service this morning, we're going to be eating. And that's always a good thing to do together, right? We get to come together. We get to worship God together. We get to sing songs and praise Him, study His Word a little bit, and then we get to eat. How much better does it get than that, right? Okay. So again, we just appreciate each one of you being here today. It's all about friendship. It's all about looking at and focusing on friendship, first of all, with God, and then secondly, with God's creation. And who would that be? That's us. Us-ins or we-ins, depending on what part of the country you're from, right? Okay, that's us. All right, so that's what we're going to be focusing on today, is friendship with God, first of all. And then friendship with one another. God's creation, this world. A couple of things about friendship and how important it really is. Somebody said as we grow up, we realize it is less important to have lots of friends and more important to have real ones. Especially when you need a lift every now and then, okay? It's really important to have good friends, right? Real friends that'll carry you through whatever troubles or hardships or difficulties you might be having, okay? Life really and truly is better when you go through it with friends, isn't it?
Yeah.
The wise man in Proverbs says, one who has unreliable friends soon comes to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother, okay? And we certainly need lots of those kinds of friends that will stick by us no matter what is going on. You see, it's really easy to find lots of friends who will be your friends when everything is great, isn't it? But it's something else to be able to find friends who will be your friend when things are not so great. Those are the folks who will stick by you no matter what. That is a true friend indeed. When you're up in life, your friends get to know who you are. But when you're down in life, you get to know who your friends are. I think that's very true. Again, the wise man in Proverbs said, a friend loves at, there's that word again. We keep coming across all the time, don't we? That word, all times. That's through the thick and through the thin. That's through the good times and the bad times. A true friend is going to stick with you no matter what. Okay? And that's one of the things we want to focus on this morning, is this idea of a true friend, a true friendship in a relationship. Now, you know, a true friend is sometimes like this, you know, that they are going to be there for us even when we fall, and they're going to laugh a little bit at us maybe sometimes when we fall, but they're still going to stick with us no matter what. Okay? They're not going to run at the first sign of trouble. And God is the most important and best friend that any of us could ever ask for. Okay?
Right.
So this morning we're going to talk about this idea of walking with God in friendship and in a relationship with Him. All right? So, first of all, there's something we need to understand about the Bible. Okay? A lot of people look at the Bible and they don't like the Bible because the Bible is about a bunch of rules and regulations that I got to follow. And of course, there are some people who just don't like to follow rules, you see, just because they don't like to follow rules. But a lot of people have the impression that the Bible is just a whole bunch of rules, and it's thou shalt do this, and thou shalt not do that, and we can, and we can't. And I even had one person tell me one time, if I became a Christian, I'd have to give up all the things I like to do in life. And I said, well, not everything, but probably most things, you see. But the Bible is less about a bunch of rules trying to regulate our life as it is about relationship. It is If you want to talk about it in terms of rules, it is about the rules to a relationship that God has given to us. If you want to have a relationship, this is how you do it. Okay? But think about it this way. It's kind of like the owner's manual that you get with your car when you buy a vehicle. You know, you open up that glove box, you know, you buy a new car, you open up the glove box, and there's a little book in there. Some of y'all remember seeing one of those? You see? That's called the owner's manual. I know some people just go, I don't know what that is, and they close it up and they never open it up again, you see? But that's the owner's manual. And the reason that the owner's manual is there is because the manufacturer, that is the folks who made the vehicle, all right, they put that book together saying, okay, here's how, if you will follow these rules or these guidelines and maintain your vehicle, you're going to get the best work out of that car. It's going to last you longer and so forth. So that's how you are able to get the best out of that vehicle. That's what the owner's manual is for. And by the way, doesn't it make sense that the manufacturer is the one who would know best how to maintain that vehicle so that you get the best use out of it? Makes sense to me anyway, okay? So, you know, follow that maintenance schedule and so forth and you'll get the best use out of your vehicle. Well, the Bible is God's owner's manual. Since He is the manufacturer, right? He's the one who made us, okay? And He created us. We'll talk about this in a few minutes. He created us to live in relationships with one another. Then His owner's manual by the manufacturer, okay, is designed to show us how to live in relationships with Him, first of all, and secondly, with one another or His creation. So if we follow God's owner's manual, or if you want to call it the rules of relationships, then our relationships are going to work better. Now, that doesn't mean that we're never going to have problems in our relationships. What it does mean is that when we have problems in our relationships, we turn to the owner's manual and He shows us how to work through those problems in a very good way. That's why God gave us His Word. It's not intended to just be a bunch of rules to make our lives miserable. Instead, it's the opposite. It's intended to be some rules, some guidelines to tell us how to best or get the best out of the relationships that we have in this world. So we begin talking about the relationship with God, first of all, and we begin in Genesis chapter 3 with walking in the garden. And many of you have heard me talk about this before. And the phrase that I like to use is that before Adam and Eve sinned, they had what I call a walking in the garden in the cool of the day relationship. Okay? Now, how do we know that they had that kind of relationship? Well, if you look at the text, and let's take a look and see what does it really say here, okay? It says that, this is verse 8, then, okay, this is immediately after they disobeyed God and sinned. It says, then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as He was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Now, we've got to ask ourselves, well, how did they know that's what it was? They heard this sound that they were very familiar with, apparently. See, it wasn't where they were hearing a sound that they'd never heard before and go, oh, what's that sound? We need to hide. They hid indeed, but not because they didn't recognize the sound, but because they knew what that sound was. It was the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day that they had heard before. How do we know that? Well, again, this is happening after they disobeyed God. Okay? And because of their sin, they became aware of their own selfishness and their own nakedness before God. Okay? Look at the statement that it makes here. They hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Okay? But the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?" And he, that is the man, answered, look at this, "I heard you in the garden." I heard you in the garden. He didn't say, "I heard a strange sound in the garden that I wasn't aware of and I was scared and so I hid." He said, "I heard you in the garden." So again, that to me is proof positive that they knew what that sound was because they'd heard it before. They knew it was God.
Amen.
Because they had apparently walked in the garden in the cool of the day with God, probably on a lot of previous occasions. This time was different because they violated the most important rule of the relationship, and that was disobedience to God. "Well, I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked." Man, because of sin, became very self-aware. And what happened as a result of their disobedience, that walking in the garden in the cool of the day relationship was then severed. You see, that's the result of sin. Sin separates us from God. But the great news is, because of God's love for His creation, and again, who is that? I just want to remind you. That's us, right? Because of His great love for us, He does not want us to be separated from Him eternally. So therefore, He put forth the effort. He put forth what needed to be done in order to reconcile that relationship. That is, to bring it back to what it was before sin. What an awesome, awesome God we have. Amen? Say, God then set His plan of reconciliation in motion. And from that point in the Bible, all the way through the rest, what we read about is God's work, God's efforts to reconcile or restore His creation back into a relationship with Him. Because that's what He wants more than anything, is for us to be in relationship with Him. The Apostle Paul writes to us that God demonstrated the kind of love that He has for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Why? Because God wants you in a relationship with Him. It was while we were still sinners, separated from Him. In other words, God didn't say to us, to His creation, "Look, you messed up, now you go and get your act together and then come back and see me. And by the way, apologize, and I'll think about forgiving you." God didn't say that, did He? Although, doesn't that sound a whole lot like what we say to one another when we hurt one another? Yeah. But you see, God didn't do that to us. Now, while we were still lost in our sins, separated from Him, He sent His Son to die for us so that we could be reconciled to Him. I don't know about you, but I have a hard time wrapping my mind around that kind of love. But I sure am grateful that that's the kind of God we have. Amen? Okay? So if that's what God is doing for us, okay, then what about the relationship between His creation? And that brings us to this part: love God and love His creation. You see, the Bible tells us back in Genesis, all the way back in the beginning, that God recognized that it's not good that the man should be alone. In other words, God did not create us to live isolated from one another. He created us to live and exist in relationships. Now, by the way, that's not just marriage relationships, okay? It's all relationships. God created us to live and exist with one another. He doesn't want us to live alone. And so, in that creation, He created us with a tremendous amount of variety, didn't He? I mean, just all you got to do is look around this room and you see a lot of that. There's some of us that are too big. Okay? I hope I'm still lovable. There's some of us that are real tiny. Right, Miss Jean? Yep. You say. There are some of us who are black. There are some of us who are white. And that doesn't matter, does it? You say. You see, God created us different. There are those of us who are male, and there are those of us who are female. And that's okay too, right?
Amen.
That's all how God chose to create us. Different. But then, His call is for us to learn how to live in relationship with one another. And not just any relationship, but a relationship that is grounded in love. Okay? We're different. But does that mean we can't still be friends? Okay? Now, on one occasion, Jesus was asked a question by one of the teachers of the law. And it was, the intention of the question was to try to trap Jesus, okay? But this teacher of the law asked Jesus this very important question. And the question was, "Teacher, of all the commandments in the law, what is the greatest commandment?" So in other words, this teacher recognized that, you know, the law of Moses at that time, it had, a whole bunch of laws. There were rules and regulations, and not just those that were actually in the law of Moses, but then there were all of the traditions that had been tacked on, and there were all the interpretations of the rabbis that had been tacked on to that. So it was kind of like, who can keep up with all these laws and rules? And so this teacher of the law comes to Jesus and says, just kind of narrow this all down for us, break it down, make it real easy. What's the greatest commandment of all of them? And Jesus responds by saying, the greatest commandment is this: love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, and with all of your strength. In other words, with your whole being, with everything within you, love the Lord your God. And though he wasn't asked this question, he went ahead and answered it anyway. The second is this: love your neighbor as yourself. All of the law and the prophets, Jesus said, hang on these two commandments. So in other words, the greatest commandment of all the commandments, and they were talking about the old law, the law of Moses and all of that, but it's still the same today under the law of Christ. Especially when we recognize and understand, as we said, we're talking about relationships. Okay? The greatest commandment basically is this: love God and love people. I mean, how much simpler can that be, right? Love God and love people. Because the people are God's creation. So God calls upon us to not only love Him, but to love His creation. That's one another. When we do that, what we're doing is we're showing our love for God. When we love one another. Now, here's the difficult part of that. Okay? I want you to understand that there's no disclaimer in what Jesus says here. In other words, there is nothing that says, love those who love you. Okay? There's nothing that says the only people you have to love are those who are lovable. Right? It's love God and love your neighbor. Well, which ones? In fact, this man says, who is my neighbor? Okay? He thought he was going to get one up on Jesus. Well, who is my neighbor? In other words, which ones of my neighbors do I have to love? And Jesus basically is saying all of them, okay? But then he goes on to tell the parable of the Good Samaritan. So the point is that when God tells us that we need to love one another, He's telling us to love one another even when somebody's not being very lovable. Even when they're not at their best, when they're at their worst, He's calling upon us to love them anyway. In other words, we don't get to just kind of give our love when they're behaving and then take it away when they're not behaving. We love those who love us. Jesus says, what good is that? Even the pagans do that. He calls upon us to love one another as He has loved us. And when was that? He loved us while we were still sinners. And He calls upon us to do the same thing. To love one another even when our one another's are at their worst. Not just when they're at their best. We need to love one another unconditional, like Jesus has loved us. And then we come to back in the beginning. We go all the way back to Genesis. Okay? Walking in fellowship. You see, when we are loving God and we're loving one another, that is His creation, then we are truly walking in fellowship with God. So I call your attention over to 1 John chapter 1. And we were talking about this a little bit in our Bible class this morning. Okay? In verse 7, John writes this: if we walk in the light, and that's talking about our daily, the way we live day by day in our life. That's what he's talking about by our walk. It is our walk in life. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. Now, a lot of people think that the one another here is talking about this way. You know, with each other. But that one another is talking about God. He's talking about having fellowship with God. Or being in relationship with Him. Well, how do we know that? Well, go back one verse to verse 6. It's all about walking in this relationship or in fellowship with God. Look at what verse 6 says. If we claim to have fellowship with Him and walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. Well, wait a minute. Who's the Him? It's God. It's God. In verse 5, John introduces this whole topic by saying, God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. And if we claim to have fellowship with Him, that is God, yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light as He, that is, God is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. That's talking about going all the way back to the relationship that God had with Adam and Eve in the garden before they sinned. A walking in the garden in the cool of the day relationship. In other words, being reconciled to God, being friends with Him, being back in relationship with Him. That's what He's talking about here. We have to understand the only way to have that kind of a relationship with God is to be walking in the light. We can go to church all we want to. We can read the Bible and we can say prayers and we can do all that we want to. But if we're not walking in the light, that is our daily life, then we're not in fellowship with God. Okay? Because going to church doesn't make anyone a Christian any more than going in a hen house makes you a chicken. Okay? It's not where you are that does it. It's how you are living your life. God wants us to live a life in relationship with Him. Right? One of the things that is very clear is that you cannot walk in the light with God holding hands with the devil. You just simply cannot do that. In other words, you can't have it both ways. Okay? So you got to choose your friends wisely. Who are you going to be friends with? With God or with the world? It's a one or the other, either or scenario. Okay? Look at what James says in James chapter 4. You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world is hatred toward God? Anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. Notice he uses the word chooses. It is a choice that we make. Who do we want to be friends with? The world or with God? God has gone to the utmost length in even giving His own Son in order that you and I could have a relationship with Him. The world gives nothing but lies. How can you trust a friend that lies to you all the time? Like the world does. You see? But a friend who would give His own Son. How can you not trust Him? See? I don't know who this particular person is, but I like this quote. Most Christians do not have fellowship with God. They have fellowship with each other about God. Just let that sink in a little bit. There's a huge difference between those two, isn't it? What God wants us to have is fellowship with Him. Now, we need to have fellowship with one another, right? And let's be honest, that fellowship is based on the blood of Jesus. I mean, think about it. If it weren't for the blood of Jesus, most of us in this room right now wouldn't even know each other. We'd have no reason to be in fellowship with one another, would we? Because it's the blood of Christ that has brought us together as one. But we don't just fellowship about God. When each one of us is in fellowship with God individually, then collectively, we are in fellowship with God and with one another. And that's how God intended and designed His church to be. That's the same thing as loving God and loving one another, isn't it? Okay? What God wants from every single one of us is a relationship with Him. That's what He has offered through the blood of His Son, Jesus. That's what He has called upon every single person that He has created throughout time, is to live in relationship with Him. Just like it was before sin came into the world. Walking in the garden in the cool of the day, relationship. One day, none of us knows when, one day this world as we know it will end. Lord Jesus is going to come back again. And He's going to take those who belong to Him to be with Him. Where the Apostle Paul tells us we will remain with Him forever. Those who do not have a relationship with Him will be left here to be destroyed with the rest of this earth. And we'll be separated from God forever. That's the only two choices, the only two possibilities that can be. What makes the difference as to where each one goes and spends eternity? It's one word. Choice. Your personal, individual choice to live either in a relationship with God or to reject that relationship. That is each of our choice. If you choose to live in relationship with God, that means that you repent of the sin that has separated you from God. And you call upon Jesus to be Lord of your life. You then have the promise of being able to walk in the garden in the cool of the day, in a whole new garden, in a whole new world that God is going to create once all of this is destroyed, and thus you will have that relationship forever. It's a choice. I think most everybody in here, at least those of you that I know, have made that choice. Maybe somebody here this morning who's not made that choice yet. Not given your life to Christ. Has not repented of the sin that is separating you from God. But the great news is, what I'm here to tell you right now is you can do that. Right now, this morning. You don't have to wait. If you are outside of Christ, if you're not in a relationship with Him because you haven't given Him your life, you can do that right now, this morning. Call upon Jesus as your Lord. Repent of the sin that is separating you from God. And have those sins washed away in the waters of baptism, and you can do that right now. I think I saw Chuck earlier checking the water. It's ready, isn't it, Chuck? We've got water that's ready right behind me. You don't have to wait for anything. Ready to make that commitment, all you got to do is let me know. But for those who are already in Christ, there may be something we talked about in our Bible class this morning. Now, you know, Satan is always attacking us, and there may be something that you're struggling with and you need some help to overcome. Great opportunity while families gather together to come and to say, hey, I need some help with this. I need prayers. I need forgiveness of this in my life. Whatever it is, we want to help take care of that so that you can leave here feeling fresh and free in that relationship with Christ. Dale will be in the back and Ray will be in the back to receive anyone that would like to have a private prayer or conversation with either one of them back there. And I'll be up front here to receive anyone that would like to come up. The Lord's invitation is open to all. Chuck has a song that he's chosen for us to sing. We're going to stand together and sing. And you can respond while we're doing that. Let's stand together. Chuck?
Be like thee.